Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I don't know, of course, what you're doing for the rest of the week, but I'm headed to California, and I'm just thrilled. It's rainy here in Colorado, a little chilly. Well, not today. It's warmed up a bit, so it's very muggy. Remember that word, muggy, humid? Well, I'm headed to Malibu. You know, it's rough, but somebody's got to do it because there's a creation evolution event happening on the Pepperdine University campus, and that campus has every year a Bible lecture series that attracts thousands. And last year, there was a Darwinist evolution-themed set of talks, and an alumnus, Dr. Vern Bissell, asked if this year they would consider Genesis-based, special creation-based set of talks, and he couldn't get anywhere. I don't know if he was stonewalled or it just didn't happen. So he decided on the Pepperdine campus in their executive conference facility to rent enough room, there was still room available, to go ahead and have his own event. And I'm pretty thrilled about it, in part because I was invited to be one of the half dozen speakers. And the information, you could find it all on our website, kgov.com, or you could go to kgov.com/Pepperdine. And ads have been taken out in Malibu, in the area, inviting local residents, those interested, not only to come to the event, but to check out Real Science Radio on the internet at rsr.org. So that'll all be fun. And I have been asked, and it's an honor, and I thought maybe you guys could help me with this. I've been asked to open the event. So the first speaker in this Creation Evolution, a protest conference on the campus during the annual Bible Lectures event. And so this is what I thought I would do. I don't know how it's going to go over, but I thought I would share with you my opening presentation, my remarks, and then there's plenty of time to get input. You know, whether it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a correction. So I'm going to pretend that we're there in Malibu. Now, would somebody pull the shades down on those windows? It's going to be hard, the suspension of unbelief. How? It's raining out there. Actually, it's been cold in California. So I'm going to just go ahead and pretend that I'm there. It's Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. The first day is 3 to 8 p.m. And so let's do it, right? You guys ready? Here we go. Greetings to the brightest audience in California. Thank you for inviting me to open this science creation literacy event here on the beautiful, though rebellious, Pepperdine campus. Regarding the scientific study of origins, theistic evolution is indistinguishable from atheism. Did you know that theistic evolutionists typically reject intelligent design? Let that sink in for a moment. Especially the leading theistic evolutionists, they reject intelligent design. And did you know that Old Earth Christian colleges also deny the global flood? So theistic evolutionists reject intelligent design, and Old Earth Christian colleges deny the global flood, for compromise is never satisfied. If Christian colleges were to teach the truth, their students would learn that science agrees with the straightforward reading of the Bible. But instead of siding with Moses' account in Genesis, Pepperdine University has chosen instead to side with the secular world's stories of origins. Now, atheists claim that God doesn't exist. But what actually doesn't exist is a secular theory of origins. That doesn't exist. They don't even have a theory for Pepperdine to side with. I'll give you 7 observations to establish my point that secular theories of origins, like on the origin of species, the origin of stars, the origin of life, the origin of the universe, I'll give you 7 observations to make my point that if you abandon Genesis, no theory of origins even exists for you to side with. First, the origin of species for Darwinists begins with species already in existence. Read Darwin's book. Talk to any Darwinist. The origin of species begins with species already in existence. So that's not origins. That's called cheating. The origin of genes. The origin of genes begins with the modification of existing genes in our DNA. The origin of stars begins with the explosion of existing stars. I've just read that in a National Geographic Atlas of the Universe just 2 weeks ago. The origin of life on Earth is claimed increasingly to have come from pre-existing life on other planets. The origin of the universe, this is the fifth. The origin of the universe is increasingly explained to have come from a pre-existing multiverse of an infinite number of universes, and we popped out of one of those. So those are 5 irrefutable observations that disprove the belief that secular theories of origins even exist. And so apart from the special creation revealed in Scripture, there are no theories of actual origins. And the few hypotheses that have circulated for a while are in full retreat. So that's the 5, but we still have 2 more observations to go, which will further the point that Pepperdine, by abandoning the plain reading of Genesis, doesn't even have a theory of origins to side with. So the 6th observation regards consciousness, and the 7th regards a scheme, a biological information scheme. For realize that just as old earth Christian colleges, they also deny the global flood, so too the leading theistic evolutionists even reject intelligent design. For compromise is never satisfied. I'll give you an example. The BioLogos organization, founded by the famed theistic evolutionist Francis Collins. BioLogos and Collins, they are staunch opponents of intelligent design. Now, one would think if you support theistic evolution, that, yeah, there's evolution, but that God was involved with the evolution, then you would acknowledge that intelligent design is valid because God is the designer. He designed the evolution. You could see his hand in the creation. But it turns out that the leading theistic evolutionist, like at BioLogos, are staunch opponents of intelligent design. And they insist on the fundamentally atheistic method. It's called methodological naturalism. That is, according to many theistic evolutionists, it's against the rules even to look for evidence of a creator, even to look for it. It's against the rules even to look for evidence of intent, of a will, of a creator behind living things within physics and in the universe itself. So regarding consciousness, our 6th observation, if there is no special creation by God, as asserted by all secular scientists and by most leading theistic evolutionists, then there certainly is no secular theory of origins for anyone to side with, because human consciousness is part of existence, and perhaps the most extraordinary part. And if your theory doesn't explain our consciousness, then not only don't you have a robust theory of origins, you don't even have a working hypothesis to explain where you've come from, if you can't account for the origin of human consciousness. So, as with so many other religious institutions, Pepperdine has discarded God's special creation and therefore has sided with a position that doesn't even exist. For the choice has always been and will always be either God or nothing. If you side with God and his word, you have the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you trade in God's word for something else, the only thing you can get in exchange is nothing. For theistic evolution in practice is indistinguishable from atheism. Charles Darwin cheated with the title of his book, On the Origin of Species, for he began with species already in existence. For propaganda purposes, to sell atheistic origins to the general public and to gullible academia, Darwin exploited the number in the word species. What's the number in the word species? Is it a singular or a plural? Well, it takes the same form for singular or plural. So with the title Origin of Species, millions of people since 1859 have assumed that Darwinists have scientifically explained life on Earth. They assume that. And the gullible media promotes that. Origin of Species, they cheat because they begin with species already in existence. Have they explained the origin of life? They haven't, and they won't, because they can't. Life is information-based, and information is not physical. Awareness is not physical. So consciousness requires a soul. God gave plants a body, animals a soul, and to men a spirit. Think about that. God gave to plants only a body. So plants cannot feel pain. They can't have relationship. They can't disapprove of the plucking of their fruit. And neither can a tree grieve the lopping off of its boughs. Just can't do it. To some animals, God gave a body and a soul. In Hebrew, it's a nefesh, a soul. To some animals, God gave a body and a soul of varying depths and qualities, so that many animals can feel pain, relate, and could even have rudimentary emotions. To Adam and Eve, God gave a body, a soul, and a spirit, so that we can experience the full range of awareness, passion, and relationship. The magazine founded by Billy Graham, which has become increasingly worldly, Christianity Today, promotes theistic evolution. In their cover story, The Search for the Historical Adam, which we reviewed at Real Science Radio, and you can hear online at rsr.org, Christianity Today denies that God made Adam of the dust of the ground. Billy Graham would be turning in his grave if he were in his grave. They deny that God made Adam of the dust of the ground. And instead, they claim that Adam was a barrel of monkeys, literally. Literally. You know, they no longer take God's word literally, but they sure do take theistic evolution literally. And so they claim that about 200 ape-like creatures had evolved sufficiently, by strictly naturalistic means, of course, to where God could put a soul into them and a spirit into them. And so Adam was really 200 ape men who then became human. That's what Christianity Today says Adam was, a barrel of monkeys. World-famous atheists have pointed out that such a claim, that claim, destroys the gospel itself. And this is from atheists. Because if there was no curse at the tree, then why would Jesus become a curse on a tree? And if sin didn't enter the world through the first man, then the epistles are wrong on that too. Further, 8 times the New Testament mentions Adam by name, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by 3 New Testament authors. 8 times they speak of Adam. And 2x it records Jesus Christ discussing the making of mankind quote, at the beginning of creation, by the way, not after billions of years, but at the beginning. And also, regardless of whatever latest perversion may be forthcoming from the U.S. Supreme Court, Jesus said that God made them male and female at the beginning of the creation. And just as the leading theistic evolutionists even reject intelligent design, which seems shocking, but they do, for compromise is never satisfied, so too Old Earth Christian colleges also deny the global flood, even though the New Testament presents Noah's flood as a historical event. The Apostle Peter recalled that the Lord waited patiently in the days of Noah, he wrote, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. And you have, that's Peter. The Roman Catholic Church says wrongly, but they say that Peter was the first pope, and they reject that there was a global flood. Why do they reject a global flood? Because they believe in Darwinism and the Big Bang and an old earth. So Peter speaks of the days of Noah and the eight souls that were saved through water. And then again, in his second epistle, he writes that God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And he warned Pepperdine, too, in his epistle, and all the churches of Christ. Pepperdine, by the way, was founded by a Church of Christ member, George Pepperdine, and supported ever since by that very diverse denomination. You have extreme from pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-Darwinist, Big Bang liberals to fundamentalists within the Church of Christ. And Pepperdine, in fact, this week in their Bible lectures, one of the talks is on how our churches of Christ should be safe places for homosexual Christians. That's one of their talks. Last year, it's an old earth and the Big Bang and evolution. And this year, it's how we could be homosexuals in good standing as members of the church. So Peter also warned Pepperdine and all the churches of Christ that in the last days, scoffers will claim that, quote, all things continue as they were. That's just like Charles Darwin and Charles Lyell with their uniformitarianism. And Peter continued, for this they willfully forget that the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. And there's the Epistle to the Hebrews, which reminds us that, quote, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And Jesus himself described the world, quote, before the flood, with the majority ignoring God, as Jesus said, quote, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and took them all away. In fact, the Lord referenced each of the first seven chapters of Genesis. Did you know that? Jesus referenced each of the first seven chapters of Genesis, taking them literally, while every single author of the New Testament, all eight or nine, depending on what you think about Hebrews, all the authors, every single author of the New Testament referred to at least one of the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And those are the chapters that the Pepperdine professors would especially distance themselves from. So when you step back, even if you are an unbeliever, you should be able to see that the secular world certainly doesn't have any robust theory of origins. And in fact, the few hypotheses they did have are in full retreat. And if you are a Christian, or at least claim to be a Christian, and step back to take in the big picture, you should be able to see that you have traded away God's special creation for what? For nothing. Because without God, there is nothing. Now, for the seventh observation, that makes my point that there is no secular theory of origins. And this one regards a scheme, a biological information scheme. In very general terms, by way of what they call methodological naturalism, what is the materialist theory for how to originate the scheme to encode a protein sequence onto a DNA molecule? So you encode that protein onto the DNA as a set of instructions for how to build that protein. So what is the theory for how to originate that scheme? Atheists have nothing. Theistic evolutionists have nothing. You can search the literature all you want. You can immerse yourself in the RNA world. Think of nothing but adenine and cytosine. The secular evolutionist, and thus also the leading theistic evolutionist, have not taken even a first baby step in more than a half century since the DNA double helix was discovered. They haven't even taken the first step toward explaining how a symbolic scheme can arise from only matter and energy, by which information could then be encoded. Atheists, and therefore all methodological naturalists, including Francis Collins and BioLogos and Pepperdine University, have nothing. Without God's special creation, they will forever have nothing, because an understanding of physics and of information affirmatively demonstrates that the laws of physics do not include symbolic logic. Information is not physical, and hence, strictly material systems cannot give rise to information. Here's another way of stating this. Real Science Radio asserts that not a single journal paper has ever proposed even a vague theoretical method of how a scheme of biological information could have arisen by material processes. How can we say that? Have we surveyed the millions of published papers in journals, peer-reviewed papers? No, of course not. But we say that because, just like it is impossible even to think about how to give consciousness to a computer, because it's such an impossible absurdity that it is literally unthinkable. You can't even think of how to do it. So too, the idea of matter giving rise to a symbolic coding scheme is such an impossible absurdity that it is literally unthinkable. It is impossible even to propose a solution. So that goes beyond just saying that it's impossible. It's impossible for someone to jump to the moon, but science fiction writers can imagine how to do it, if it could be done. They'd get some super strong guy, right, like the Hulk, and have him jump as hard and as high as he can and aim for the moon. His leg muscles just need to generate an absurd amount of force, and there he goes. Now let's those same secular science fiction writers imagine how to give consciousness to a computer. I'm not saying that they haven't thought up plenty of HALs and Datas and Frankensteins, but I'm saying that they have no way of even thinking about the problem of what you would have to do to bring about consciousness, which is not physical, to a strictly material entity. And likewise, they simply can't even think of how matter and energy can originate a symbolic information scheme, such as how to code the amino acid sequence of a protein into a database. You know, to do that, your scheme would need three parts. You need a protein. You need a database, like an information molecule. And you need a mechanism that implements the instructions to build the protein. Materialists can't answer this question because it's unanswerable. It's like the ink on the page of a book. Is the pattern of ink based on the laws of physics or on the intention of the author? The same thing with the ASCII code in a computer. Did you know your computer, if you see the letter A on your screen, in the computer's memory, it's not the letter A, it's the number 65. The number 65 represents a capital letter A. Now, who thought that one up? Is that based on the laws of physics? No, it was a guy named Bob Beamer. Bob Beamer, and he arbitrarily assigned the letter A to the number 65. It could have been to any other number. And our genetic code is identical in concept to the ASCII code. It is a symbolic code. The laws of physics have no symbolic functions. Apart from special creation, there is no theory of origins. There is no robust hypothesis of origins. So what Pepperdine has traded away when they turned their back on the natural reading of Genesis, they traded away God's word for nothing. That is literally what they've done. So seven observations make the point that a secular theory of origins doesn't even exist for a liberal Christian to side with. Now that's the basis of my talk. The talk itself will go on just for another 10 minutes and a couple concluding illustrations. And if you have any thoughts on that, please email them to me, bob@kgov.com. bob@kgov.com. I'd love to hear from you. I've got a couple days to take that mess and make it presentable. So I'd love your input, constructive criticism or not, whatever. And hey, our website, kgov.com. May God bless you.